this old couple meets up in a retirement home. And she's a widow and he's a widower, and they have been married for a while. And they have this great idea. They said, you know, we don't have a hell of a lot of time left here. Why don't we just get married and be done with it? And that way we don't go out alone. Yeah, okay, let's do that. So they gather all their friends up in the eating area, and they have this nice little ceremony with all their buddies, you know, those that can still hear and see and whatever. And they go back to her room. The old lady says, Herbert, sit down on the edge of that bed. I've got a little surprise for you. She goes into John there and closes the door. Herbert's like, hell yeah, man. It's been 25 years. I'm finally going to get some. All right. And he's all starting to take his shirt off and everything else. And all of a sudden, the door opens, and here's, you know, Ethel. She comes out. She's got this little teddy thing on, and her old grandma boobs are almost barely making it in the holes and, you know, whatever. Crotchless panties and, you know, the whole nine. Well, she closes the bathroom door, turns 180 degrees, flips upside down, does a handstand, and then opens her legs like a T. And Herbert says, Ethel, what the hell are you doing? You're going to break something. She says, Herbert, you are well over 85. He says, yes. She says, you might have trouble getting it up. He says, yeah, probably. He says, well, why don't you just come on over here, big boy, and drop that sucker in.
And freaking ew.
I love that joke.
Hey everyone, this is Eloy from Scratched, and welcome to episode 111. Rick would have done this intro for you, but as you will hear, he had a bit of a breakdown. The doctors say he's going to be okay. Once you've had a chance to listen, hop on over to our website, scratched.net, where you can listen to previous episodes, read a few articles, and even, you know, send Rick a get well soon message. I'm sure he's going to appreciate reading those. So, here we go with episode 111.
Even in my 40s, there would be no way I would try that. That's just gross. So, but anyway, multitasking as I was, I found this article. It's called Snowflake Watch, Safe Words for Safe Places. And that really caught my attention. And I thought, okay, let's read this article. And I'm kind of glad I did, even though it's given me something to rant about. So, for those of you who are not familiar with a Wilkie rant, get ready. There's something else.
Where are we going?
You'll see very soon.
Citizens have 911. Employees have the EEOC. Even distressed sailors have the Coast Guard. But what do American college students have? Where can they turn when they find themselves outside campus safe spaces and suffering a microaggression? Now, right off the bat, I'm like, what the hell is...
Microaggression?
Microaggression, quote unquote, yes. The article continues, because now it's got my attention. I want to know what the hell a microaggression is. And if it's what I think it is, oh, it's going to be nasty. So, fortunately, the University of Arizona has an answer. It recently distributed a 20-page booklet. 20-page booklet. I say that wow. A second time, more for effect, to just let that sink in, okay? Suggesting to faculty that when a student is victimized by a microaggression, the appropriate response should be saying, ouch. And the correct response for the offender should be saying, oops. According to the 20-page, I say again, 20-page guide. If a student feels hurt or offended by another student's comment, the hurt student can say, ouch, in acknowledgement. The student who made the hurtful comment says, oops. If necessary, there can be further dialogue about this. Now I'm pissed. Okay? Now I'm pissed, but I get worse. The guide was authored by Jesus Trevino, vice provost of the big taxpayer-funded university, whose salary is reported to be $214,000 per year. Those unfamiliar with the apparently epidemic scale of microaggression and thus not able to spot such offenses, the booklet offers us a definition. Microaggressions are the everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, or insults, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages to target persons based solely upon their marginalized group membership. University of Arizona isn't the first to suggest the ouch-oops protocol. Iowa State University, among others, has also urged a similar approach.
Ouch.
Oops. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so can you say that now in English?
Yeah, kids are pussies. Okay. We have now got so far into the nanny state in this fucking place that kids can't even take a bump without some sort of victimization going on. Eloy's walking up the hallway. I'm walking the opposite way. I'm talking to Ryan. I'm not paying attention. And I sort of bump him with my elbow as we gently pass each other. I have to basically turn around and fucking blow him now. Are you shitting me? This is the kind of pussies we're raising to run this fucking place? Are you fucking serious about that shit?
It's sad, but true.
Unbelievable. Now, here's the thing that really pisses me off the most. Dead center of the article. Tax-based school.
Right.
Taxes are going to pay for that kind of horseshit. That kind of horseshit. Are you fucking serious? When did we get to this point?
Okay, well.
You're saying, you're asking the when. What's the why? Why did this happen?
Oh, I know exactly why.
Well, elaborate on it.
I was going to allow Eloy his point, but I will.
Oh.
Either way, I don't care. My point will still be here.
We're men. We're human. We're seekers of, to conquer our area, be it, back in the day or just to conquer. We're not, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, we do that out of mutual respect in certain situations, but we can't, but we're not that. I think the pacification is not, I mean, do you agree that can't be blotted out of men? Completely.
I don't know.
If you don't, you don't.
Boy, they are certainly freaking trying, let me tell you.
Right, that's what I'm saying. From our point of view, because we're not that way, it doesn't seem like it could be. But from what Rick's reading and what we have seen in the world as it is now, they've succeeded in certain ways.
If there's 100 people being born today, and mm-hmm. they take them through the school system and this and that, and they try to feminize men as much as possible so they grow up to be these jangly, disjointed, hip-moving, freaking whatever. Out of that 100, how many do you think actually will end up like that?
Today? It's hard to put a number on it, but I would say a good percentage of them.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is.
Over 40.
Right. I was thinking half and half, but yeah. Somewhere around there. You know how it is when you're that age. For most people, they just want to fit in. So, of course, they're going to want to go with the herd. But outliers that don't want to be that way, of course, won't be affected by it. But that's going to carry on. And those 40 that go on are going to raise their kids that way. And God forbid they become teachers. They're going to teach that way. And it just snowballs.
Snowball the snowflakes.
I don't know. I think that there's a percentage that will, but I truly think that the instinct that we have within us, you could start off that way because of your surroundings, but like, for instance, I know for a fact if they dropped me off in the woods, if I disappeared into the woods, I'd become a freaking monster. And if somebody crossed my path, I would slice their freaking heads off. I can tell you right now that I would become a wildebeest of protecting my shit.
Do you think a college kid, if he got dropped off in the woods right now, what do you think would happen to him?
For the first 2 or 3 years, he'd be frolicking in the woods,
picking flowers to put in his man beard.
Yeah, he'd be putting little flowers.
We're doing this.
Little flowers. He, up against the tree, look like this.
No, and, like, that's like not it.
Trees. I love you, tree. I love you.
No. Here's why that won't work, and that won't happen. And it goes back to the question. I'm pointing that way, like Ryan. There, it goes back to the question that Ryan asked me. Okay, why? Here's why. They are the way they are. They're slighted by every tiny little thing because they've been given every tiny little thing. They haven't had to work for anything. They haven't had to earn anything. They haven't. It's been handed to them on a silver platter. They don't know what it is to go out and live on their own because they've never had to. And they've never been allowed to. And that's the kicker. Now, Eloy was right, but not with that generation. The previous generation would go out and hug the trees and everything else. These little lazy bastards haven't had the opportunity, haven't been forced to go out and pick those flowers and love the universe and whatever other bullshit they want to pull out of the 60s.
Instead of like, if you see a slab of walnut, you're like, what can I make out of this? And they're like, walnut, I love the texture. I love how it feels. I love how it feels on my skin.
What do you do? What do you do with this? Right?
They don't know what the hell to do with it. Why isn't this already made into a table?
Pixies, forest pixies, where are you? Can you build me a table, forest pixies?
The kids you
frolicking?
No. Even that's too much effort, Eloy. Even that's too much effort. It's not a question of why didn't you. Or can, I'm sorry, excuse me. It's not a question of can you. The question is, why didn't you? Why isn't this already in my hands, made, ready to go? So I don't have to put the least goddamn bit of effort into anything.
Right. You have raised kids that are what, in their 20s now? Early 20s?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not too far removed from observing and raising the same generation, roughly, because I have a 15, 16-year-old.
Sure.
I think we've talked about this before. I don't raise my kids that way. They know that when they're of age, they get a job. If they want a car, they have to pay the insurance on. If they want a cell phone, they have to pay their cell phone bill, because none of that crap was handed to me. I had to work for everything I had when I was a teenager and onward, you know, after that. My kids' friends is where I see it. Now, I'm not saying I'm parent of the year or anything. I'm sure I'd give in to my kids on some things, as most parents probably do. But
but not everything.
No. The luxuries and stuff, I'm not paying for that because I had to do that stuff myself. You don't need a cell phone. You don't need a car. Our town's 2.5 miles wide. You can walk wherever you need to go.
This is true.
But I can't remember, one of his friends or some might have even been his girlfriend, I'm not sure, had said something about they thought it was ridiculous that I made him pay for his cell phone bill. I said, why? It's not something he needs at all. I'm not depriving him of anything.
Right.
The things like that. And I'm sure this is why this article set you off, is because it blows your mind. Are you entitled to that?
Right.
One, you don't need it. Two, you didn't earn it. And three, you're not working for it.
So, what set me off?
Earning and working. But,
that was certainly part of it, okay? But what really set me off was, excuse me, the mentality of, you've injured me. In the most minuscule of freaking ways. These goddamn kids can't handle somebody saying, that's wrong, when it's wrong. Right. You've injured me to a point where I can no longer function without you saying something and acknowledging it. Okay.
Let me tell you, I don't know if it applies directly. I think it does, but this is a good example. I think it is somewhere in there. When I was little in elementary school, there was this kid that would bully me. And you could use the word microaggressions, but then it started getting pushing and stuff. Right. And I was always, believe it or not, back then, and for most, I have an incredibly high level of respect for other people's property, which includes, now I understand, and I always did instinctually, their body is their property, their things are their property, you know, all these things. So I never would cross a line physically. Verbally, I might enter into a thing, you know, if there's an idea, and it's always been that way, but I would never go and aggress against someone unless I'm being threatened with, you know, a harm, and then I have no choice. But
sure,
back then, I wasn't, you know, into getting into fights or anything, and the guy would push me. And then one day after school, we were all running out, we were going out of the school entrance or exit, which is the entrance. You get the point. And I had my backpack and all that, and somebody pushed me from the back, and the entrance was like this inclined, and I fell face first. My books came off from the back of the thing and backpack, and they slid all. I mean, it was like basically like a painting. All my books just scattered all over, and I got up, and I had some friends. I don't even remember their names. Pick up books and give them back to me and stuff. And I said, "Who did that?" And they said, "The guy." And I was like, "Motherfucker!"
I'm glad you're holding back, because I haven't, and I'll just apologize now.
I said, "Mother effer," and now I've become the pinnacle of the teetotaler.
Yeah, I should have done better. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, you're the editor. You're the one that gets the fun of beeping all of it.
Look, you think I'm editing that out, you're high. I'll just beep the hell out of it.
So, the next day in the bus, that kid had found out that I had found out. And he thought he was the shit. And I've always been non-confrontational in respect to that. And I'm standing by the bus, and I see him blocks away walking, sort of like this, and from far away saying, "What? What? Huh? Yeah, I did it. What? What?" And he keeps getting closer and closer.
I hope you knock the shit out of that kid. Keep going.
He starts getting closer and closer and closer. And all the kids and all the girls there, and you know how socially when you're a kid, you know, this is your world and stuff, and he keeps getting closer. What? 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 And then he got right up to me, like literally past arm's length, right up to me, and I had not moved. And instinctively, and this is what I took my hands and just did this, bap, but it was such a bap. It was kind of like, have you ever seen that movie, Kill Bill, the three-step Iron Fists, Heart Stopper. Like the
Bruce Lee one-inch punch.
Well, I did that with my palms going like that, bam! And he got off balance, but in a terrible way, because he had a backpack too, and he freaking his backpack hooked up onto the mirror of the bus and stuff. And he tripped all over. We hadn't gotten on yet.
Damn.
This was like right that moment we're all getting, and he goes, and he falls on the floor, but it was like, it looked like I just pushed him because he was there, but it looked like to everyone else that I freaking demolished the guy with one single blow. And the kid got up, and he was embarrassed, and he says, "Oh, I'm gonna get my people to come up," because back then the whole thing was gangs. And so he claimed to be in a gang, and he said, "I'm gonna get it." I said, yeah, mother effer, just like that, mother effer. I said, yeah, go ahead, you know. And I started getting emboldened, whereas I was quiet before. I just, you know, and I saw him fall on the ground like that. I said to, you know, or I didn't say, I just instinctively, I was like, ready for death and destruction. And so. So what I'm saying is that all you need, all a human being needs, is to be let alone, and he will become what it is that he is to become.
But in the meantime, the rest of us have to deal with these little entitled shits.
I can't believe I let you talk me into this.
I can't.
Strike three. I hope that there are more folks that share that mentality instead of always seeking, you know, the injured and playing and pandering to the injured because of the fear of prosecution, you know, through legal form, civil or otherwise.
That's a real fear to have nowadays, that somebody can see totally because you hurt their feelings.
I totally get it.
That sucks.
And again, by I the can way, only... I... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was at Starbucks today and I had a minty frappuccino with sprinkly sprinks on the top and the frothy froth. It was so fantastic. Go ahead.
Did your mommy wipe your lip when you were done there, Tiny?
I like the froth to dry on my lip so that when I move my skin, it cracks.
so many lines there, and I'm not going to use a one of them.
Ew. Ew. I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
We said ew a lot in this episode.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in that kind of mood.
Quickly, back to the safe space.
I know. Ouch. Eloy, ouch.
Oops.
Men, gather around. Let us retreat into God our almighty. Into our, in, what was the thing in Lord of the Rings? Helm's Gate?
Helm's Gate, yes. Yes.
It almost makes you want to punch someone, and then when they say ow or ouch, turn around with that look on your face and be like, oops.
Yeah, apparently that gets you off. Maybe I'll try that, you know, Monday. I don't know.
You're suing me. I said oops.
I know. I fulfilled our social contract. I swear to God, if I ever say that in a serious setting, I need to be shot in the face right then and there. I want you to go out, steal a tank from the nearest armory, put the biggest round you can find that'll fit that sucker, and blow my skull out my butthole with that thing. Because I will have officially lost all reason to live at that point.
Next on Judge Judy.
Oh my God, Rick Wilkie. Can you see it?
Oh,
can you see it? Holy God.
Another thing, how many of these lessons that kids are being taught today, back in the day of, say, hunter-gatherer, how many of them being taught that do you think would have survived back then? Could you imagine? Hey, Jerome Destroyer, I don't feel like going out hunting today. I want to sit here and play with the beautiful stone carvings that I made. Can I just sit back today? And then the tribe will look at him and say,
stab the shit out of him and throw his body into the freaking hole they just dug for the fire pit. Bullshit.
So the strong survive.
Goddamn right.
The strong survive.
As it should
be. And it's great. It's great because I've talked to you guys about this before. I know me and Amy have talked about it. But in the future, this future that Eloy was talking about, where the majority of people are pushing buttons with two fingers for some reason.
With a little straw for their water, like it drips onto their lip.
And the Garth licorice.
freaking Eloy's going with hamster tubes here. What the hell is that all about, man? Are you kidding me?
And their seat has an appendage where they sit on so they can completely finish off the job. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, to get to my point, I think the people, the plumbers, the electricians, the carpenters are going to have society by the sack.
Oh, God, are you kidding?
Because no one's going to know how to do anything.
You know what? Now, here's what it comes to that point, here's what I think we should do, those of us with skills, okay? Leave. Just leave. Let those f***ers die. And if they breed more of them, so be it, because those little bastards won't know what to do either, and then they'll die. Let them all die, and then we come back and build. And if we get one hint of any of those little sons of f***ers coming back, it's game over, okay? It's game over. I used to have this theory.
I just realized how it would be. The job is like they have two buttons and they're serving a purpose, but the purpose, like let's say it's random, but for them, they don't get money in this future world. They get more stimuli. So the quicker they press a little button, the quicker that thing starts going.
Oh, dude, there's an episode of Black Mirror just like that. Yeah.
Is there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Where they have to ride bikes. They have to ride stationary bikes, and they literally get like no money. They get like credits or something like that.
Yeah,
and they can purchase entertainment. That's a wicked episode.
Yep.
But I agree with everything as far as that. I have to allow for a certain percentage of the populace to be pussified, because not only do you want workers in the world. Or actually, there are people that are born. You don't want to force the population to all be pussies, but there's a portion that are born to be, say, artists, musicians, welders, who knows what in the future. So as long as you know what the problem is, you don't want institutional manipulation coming from one source, like say the government, because they have it in their mind that they know how things should roll. You want it to be split off into localized So if this town wants to teach their kids to be, you know, wimps, so be it. This town wants to be destroyers, so be it.
And let Which town are you moving to?
Whichever one has the guns. Because at least those bastards know how to defend themselves.
Maybe they should track that like they track the unemployment rate. They should have the unemployment rate and then the snowflake rate.
I guarantee you one's going to outpace the other.
Sure.
But not by a hell of a lot.
No. Should be right in line for a while.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, and then by the time we all figure out who the snowflakes are, it's going to start creeping on the snowflake range a little bit more. And, you know. Because once we weed the snowflakes out, the people that really want to work and really want a job are going to keep those jobs, and that thing should just outpace. Theoretically. That was kind of cathartic.